Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is podcast number 17 of the Sects and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's topic is going to be interconnections in the ancient world, and specifically the connections between the Greek world and the Semitic world of antiquity. Scholars are often resistant to change. That may seem a strange thing with all the publicity of liberal scholars constantly going on after the newest thing and being the countercultural representatives of our society. But in actual fact, scholars have quite a bit invested in keeping the status quo in their own fields. This may be quite different in the sciences, but certainly in the humanities, anything that challenges convention can be considered somewhat dangerous and threatening. I once gave a paper a few years ago to a conference on Ugaritic studies where some of the participants were extremely upset by what I was having to say because I suggested that perhaps we had gotten a large part of our understanding of that ancient culture wrong. And I won't go into the specifics here, but people were not terribly impressed by the idea that they might have to go back and do all the work over again if the implications of what I suggested were true. So scholars quite often feel connected in a very tangible way to what people before them have done. Previous scholarship is the basis for present-day scholarship, and so throwing these things out without good cause is not very likely to happen. One of the orthodoxies that I grew up with among scholars in the 1980s and before was that in the ancient world, cultures were discrete, and that they didn't have much to do with each other. And that, in overall picture, seems to be fairly accurate. We know that ancient people did not travel as frequently like people do today. Overall, travel was dangerous, and people needed to spend the time on their farms and taking care of their families. So by far, the majority of ancient people did not travel any great distance from home. But when I was preparing for a course on ancient Near Eastern religions, which I'm currently teaching at Rutgers, the textbook that I chose was entitled Religions of the Ancient World, A Guide, and it's written by, or edited by, Sarah Iles Johnston. The immediate thing that caught my eye about this textbook, which is very thorough, it's a large hardback with about 800 pages, is that the authors, and there are many of them, well-respected people in their fields, have basically come to the conclusion that connections were much more open in the ancient world than we tend to think that they were. In other words, people did travel and they did know about other cultures and they did interact. Again, this was no doubt rare in the ancient world. Travel required a lot of resources. It required a willingness to leave home and support structures to go to almost certain disaster in many parts of the ancient world. Natural barriers such as great expanses of water or mountains, deserts, these sorts of things caused great problems for the would-be traveler. And as I say, most people could not afford to travel any distance, at least not with any kind of frequency, if ever. And so distance travel was certainly rare, but that's no reason to discount the possibility that those who did undertake the risks, namely merchants and sometimes those who were conscripted into the military or had to be traveling with armies as they made their way across the ancient world, there's no reason to doubt that they might have actually achieved some very great success in their widespread travels. We start to see that people did know about other cultures, and one of the benefits of reading this textbook was to see how widely accepted it is that interconnections based on archaeological finds that demonstrate artifacts from great distances made their way from one culture to another in the ancient world. So we get a sense that ancient people were actually much more connected than the orthodoxy of the field tends to indicate. They were aware that there were other cultures out there, and they had periodic interaction with them. Another of the orthodoxies of ancient studies is that certain family trees of cultures were vastly different in nature and in outlook. One of those distinct differences is the line that's often drawn between Greek culture and Semitic culture. We do know that there was some overlap in time. Homer, if he existed as a historical individual, was writing probably about the same time as some of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible were writing, if they were indeed writing their own material. So there were things going on in ancient Greece while there were cultural developments also taking place in what is now referred to as the Near East. Often, though, these are seen as being completely discrete and having nothing to do with each other. This started to change a few decades ago with the work of Cyrus Gordon. Cyrus Gordon was an uncommonly erudite scholar who was willing to take a lot of risks as far as seeing connections where other people didn't see them. Now, this was certainly overdone at one point in time. Scholars were drawing connections from far and wide. People like Fraser in The Golden Bough were suggesting connections that simply don't hold up as far as historical reconstructions go. But overall, people were reluctant to see too many connections between the ancient Greek and ancient Semitic world until Cyrus Gordon started to show the obvious evidence that is there, either thematically or culturally, or even in the basis of archaeological remains, that demonstrated that the Greeks probably knew about Semitic culture. In fact, many Greek mythological figures clearly have Semitic antecedents. And this came to be regarded as a grudgingly accepted reality by many scholars. The overdoing of the connections still continues to this day, but it's certainly more rare than it used to be. Cyrus Gordon was followed by his student Michael Astor, who went on in this tradition and demonstrated through a lengthy study how closely connected many Semitic cultures were to ancient Greek culture, or maybe putting it the other way, that Greek cultures were aware of Semitic cultures and continued to build on them. Heroic characters such as Heracles or Hercules, if you prefer, or Zeus, or any number of the great Greek gods such as Aphrodite and others had their origins in Semitic cultures. And so this has become sort of standard among those who study ancient Semitic mythology. There's been an increasing acknowledgement that Greek culture was indeed influenced by Semitic culture, and that these peoples at least knew about each other. And the ideas flowed with the trade. As soon as trade relationships were established, ideas also traveled with those who went to various places on their own. So what we find is that people did travel in the ancient world, and they did have connections with each other. This is increasingly documented, and I think the trend will only continue into the future. We're finding that the ancient world wasn't nearly as small or as technologically backward as we once thought it was. There were also a number of anomalous objects found in New World contexts. Now, most scholars are very quick to dismiss these as hoaxes and forgeries and such. But it is one of those unusual aspects of our world that we are starting to discover that many things that seem entirely unlikely, and perhaps even downright bogus at first glance, may have more than a grain of truth in them. One of the instances of this was an inscription found in Brazil, or allegedly found in Brazil, by a fairly wealthy rancher in the early part of the 20th century, or maybe it was the late part of the 19th century. I can't recall precisely. When he found this artifact, it was a stone on his property that had various figures on it that he made a hand drawing of, or had his son make a hand drawing of. And it became publicized because this was basically not a scholar, but it became publicized because these figures looked suspiciously like Phoenician. And so the question was, did the Phoenicians possibly make it to the New World? If you look at a map, West Africa is not that far from Brazil, and the Phoenicians were known to have traveled around the coast of Africa in their trade relations in the ancient world. Now, this inscription was declared a hoax by everyone, pretty much in its day. The rancher who came forward with this publicly eventually committed suicide out of the loss of status and the sense of shame of being associated with a hoax. And the original artifact has never been located. Now, having said that, the line drawings still exist. Cyrus Gordon was willing to take risks, and when he examined this inscription many years after the fact, he realized that some of the language that was considered to be the basis for this being a hoax or a forgery was based on mistakes that were made in the Phoenician. And by that point in time, by the point of discovery of this artifact or alleged point of discovery, people had already started to know how to read Phoenician in many parts of the world because the scholarship is starting to spread and it was not as rare as it had been previously. And so people just figured that this rancher or someone that he had hired forged this inscription and made mistakes. But as Gordon looked at it, he realized that material that was not available at that time but had subsequently been determined to be accurate for Phoenician was represented in this inscription. And the conclusion that he was forced to draw was that this inscription could be, indeed probably was, authentic. The story told on the stone is that a bunch of Phoenician sailors had been blown off course and that they had come on a foreign land. They didn't know where they were, and they were running out of supplies. They were dying, and they were leaving this inscription as a final testament to their having been there. Sounds overly melodramatic and overly dramatized, perhaps, but if it is authentic, it may demonstrate that ancient people traveled even further than conventionally accepted. There have been a number of inscriptions found in North America as well that seem to indicate some sort of origin from the Phoenicians or other peoples from the ancient world. And again, generally they're understood as hoaxes or frauds or forgeries. Yet, even at the same time, there's starting to be even more evidence that people did travel a lot more than we thought they did in the ancient world, and that we're only just beginning to discover how small the ancients' world really was. And, I mean, I wouldn't rely on the knowledge or the expertise of somebody such as myself who only dabbles in these things to make any kinds of solid declarations on it. But a few years ago, just before Cyrus Gordon died, I went to a meeting where he was being honored by a festschrift, I believe it was, and there were a number of speakers who were giving talks. And at the final end of the evening, late at the end of the day, Cyrus Gordon himself was allowed to speak on behalf of his own ideas. And he talked about precisely this. And it's been a number of years now, so my memory is a bit hazy on this, but I do recall that he talked a little bit about inscriptions found in the New World, and as he ended his talk, he said something along the lines of, there's even more, more than I can say here, but this is not the place to discuss it. And unfortunately, I never knew Cyrus Gordon personally. I met him at a time or two at various functions, but never got to know him as an individual or as a scholar. But I think it's enough for me to think that if somebody like Gordon, and somebody of his immense learning and stature, was willing to consider the possibilities, maybe we should all be aware that the ancient world still holds some surprises for us, and that perhaps, just perhaps, ancient people were able to make it even as far as the New World in their travels in the ancient world. Certainly they were very well connected among each other, and I think that as the future moves into focus, we're going to see more and more examples of how ancient peoples did indeed know and borrow from each other across wide distances in the ancient world.